Unfortunately, we have to begin with a sad update from Chatham County as officials yesterday recovered the body of a 15-year-old Carborough High School student who had gone missing on Tuesday after riding a jet ski on Jordan Lake. Roberto DeLito was out on the lake with a friend when officials say their jet ski had mechanical problems. The friend went to get help and DeLito was missing when they returned. There's a GoFundMe page now to help support Rob's family. You can find the link to that on our website, chapelborough.com. In Chapel Hill, the town council on Wednesday narrowly rejected a proposal for a student-focused apartment complex on MLK Boulevard. That vote was 4-4 with one member absent, and tie votes count as rejections. NNO reporting council members objected to the proposal because it focused too much on student housing and not enough on workforce housing. But while that proposal got rejected, the council voted 7-1 in favor of making a new concept plan for a municipal services center at 828 MLK Boulevard, despite concerns about thousands of pounds of coal ash on the site. With more on that, 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell.
Chapel Hill's elected officials held similar discussions for the property just last year. The group passed a non-binding agreement to have concept plans made for the center, but that iteration also included several hundred apartments for the site. Those plans were ultimately scrapped in September, as then-town manager Maurice Jones told the council rising construction costs made it more feasible to focus on building the Municipal Services Center first. Interim town manager Chris Blue and deputy manager Mary Jane Nerdlinger agreed with this recommendation on Wednesday night, saying town staff have shifted focus away from residential options at 828 MLK Boulevard. Blue also said because of the coal ash's presence, it's critical for the town council to move forward in some form with redevelopment, not only to address any risks of exposure, but also to address the town's need for space. To do that, Blue said, Chapel Hill must hear what the State Department of Environmental Quality suggests for the site and its coal ash.
It's our recommendation that we let the experts who work in this field every day and who are entrusted by the state with doing the professional evaluation and calculation of next steps, guide our next steps. One thing we all agree on is that it must be done, and I would submit to you that we need to get started now.
During Wednesday's public comment period, some community members criticized the potential of any redevelopment while the coal ash remains. Groups of environmental advocates and concerned residents have held their own meetings and information sessions over the last year to discuss potential effects of building on top of coal ash. Additionally, Chapel Hill's Environmental Steward Advisory Board unanimously submitted a petition advocating for full removal before any building. It's this reason that Councilmember Adam Searing says he voted against the resolution for any plan of new construction at the site. Searing cited UNC's removal of coal ash during a university construction project back in 2010 as an example of how Chapel Hill, quote, should do no less for its employees.
We need to just remove this ash. And I'm really happy to support building town offices, housing, or any other sort of public amenities on this site. However, we really have a responsibility to our community, our taxpayers, and most importantly for our discussion tonight, our employees, to remove this hazardous coal ash completely before we do so.
Councilmember Jessica Anderson, however, said the town council has received advice so far to instead cap the ash or bury it underground within concrete. She pointed to hiring consultants beyond the state-run brownfields program to supplementally advise town staff and elected officials on science and safety. Anderson also said she wants to explore those remediation options before creating, quote, more ethical problems by moving the toxic materials.
Trucking our coal ash to another community is not the only answer that we have. In fact, I would actually disagree with that completely. I would say I trust us to test the site going forward more than I do a poorer community with fewer resources that then other people are going to be exposed. Just because it's not Chapel Hill doesn't mean the coal ash won't be somewhere. There is no coal ash-free future.
Anderson also said she believes making a concept plan could help break the ongoing cycle of running assessments but lacking a true proposal, which she likened to being, quote, on a hamster wheel going around and around. Like Anderson, Councilmember Michael Parker voted in favor of having a concept plan crafted for the 828 MLK Boulevard property. During his comment period, he said the town council, staff, and community members are aligned on perhaps the most challenging part of this project. It must be safe.
In the end, the goal is the same for everybody at this dais as well as everybody out there who, you know, clearly are very concerned and have every right to be, that when we are done, there will be no exposure to coal ash to anyone anywhere near that site. That is our goal. And that's what we are striving for, and we are going to work with the best science we can get to achieve that goal.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Also at Wednesday's meeting, the town council unanimously approved a resolution supporting LGBTQ residents and denouncing two bills in the General Assembly, HB 43, which would ban gender-affirming care for trans youth, and SB 49, the so-called Parents Bill of Rights, that, among other things, would ban discussion of LGBTQ issues in early grades. Here's a portion of the resolution read by council members Amy Ryan and Adam Searing, with a comment afterward from Mayor Pam Heminger.
The town of Chapel Hill affirms the full civil and human rights of our LGBTQIA+ community members. Be it further resolved that we condemn all violence and hatred against LGBTQIA+ people, LGBTQIA+ spaces, and LGBTQIA+ events.
And be it further resolved that we stand in opposition to House Bill 43, to Senate Bill 49, and all, and we mean all, legislation that erodes the safety, health, civil rights, and/or bodily autonomy of LGBTQIA+ people, including minors.
I really look forward to the day when we don't need to be making these types of statements in North Carolina specifically, but it's really important for people to speak up, show up, stand up, and really speak out about these issues.
Chapel Hill joins the Carrboro Town Council, the Chapel Hill-Carrboro City School Board, and the Orange County Board of Commissioners in passing resolutions against those two bills. Notably, Chapel Hill's resolution includes specific data about violence against LGBTQ people in the U.S. that got removed from the same resolution when it passed last month in Durham. Meanwhile, in Raleigh, the state Senate yesterday signed off on a bill to toughen penalties for protesters who engage in violent behavior or damage property. That was over the objections of Democrats, who argued that the bill threatens the free speech rights of peaceful protesters as well. That bill now heads to Governor Roy Cooper. He vetoed a similar bill in 2021, but this year it passed both houses with veto-proof majorities. Over to campus now, where UNC's nursing school has just received a major donation, $5 million from Joanne and William Conway, to help address the state's ongoing nursing shortage. That five-year gift will support an accelerated doctoral program, as well as 250 undergrads each year, helping the school expand its enrollment by up to 50%. And in other health news, high marks for several local healthcare facilities in Newsweek's annual ranking of the world's best hospitals. Three Triangle hospitals made Newsweek's list of the top 100 in the U.S., including UNC Hospitals at number 89, UNC Rex Hospital in Raleigh at number 79, and up in Durham, Duke University Hospital at number 14. That hospital also made the top 50 in the world. Number one in the nation and the world, in case you're wondering, would be the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. 6:19 your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Alumni Hall. The ACC tournament is over for Carolina men's basketball, and now the Tar Heels can only wait to find out if their season is as well. With Armando Bacot limited by a sprained ankle, UNC fell to Virginia 68-59 in the ACC quarterfinal. RJ Davis put up 24 points to make up some of the difference, but it wasn't enough to overcome the Cavaliers. After the game, head coach Hubert Davis looking back on the season.
The reality is, you know, when you're speaking to a group in the locker room, and I've, you know, communicated to them that I'm talking to more than 18 guys in the locker room. I'm talking to roughly 35 to 40 people. And so, yes, there's at times the noise, whether it's from the phone, the family, the friends, the fans, the agents, the workout guys, I think at times really hurt us.
That's Hubert Davis there. Now the Tar Heels have to sit and wait for Sunday when the NCAA tournament bracket is released. We won't know until then, but most observers say UNC is unlikely to make the field of 68. If that happens, they'll be the first preseason number one ever to miss the tournament since it expanded to 64 teams. Carolina would get an NIT bid regardless, but may decide to turn that down. Another key decision will fall on Bacot, who still has one more year of eligibility if he decides to take it, plus Caleb Love and RJ Davis. They've got two 2 years left if they elect not to go pro. Basketball's done for the week, but there's a lot of action on the Tar Heel sports calendar this weekend nonetheless, starting with UNC baseball hosting Virginia in a 3-game set starting tonight at 5. UNC softball is also at home hosting Virginia Tech today at 4, and then a doubleheader starting at 2:30 tomorrow. That's an adjusted schedule because of the threat of rain on Sunday. UNC men's and women's lacrosse are back in action tomorrow. 18th-ranked men hosting Brown at noon, and the top-ranked women hosting number 9 Virginia at 3. Top-ranked UNC women's tennis heads south this weekend. They're at Georgia Tech today and at Clemson Sunday. The men are also in action Sunday hosting Wofford. UNC gymnastics has a quad meet at Missouri tonight, its final meet of the regular season. And the Tar Heel men's and women's fencing teams are in Pennsylvania for NCAA regional action. Both the men and women are ranked 12th in the final coaches poll of the regular season. Elsewhere in sports, congrats to Tar Heel women's lacrosse stars Riley Casey and Alicia Nicholas, just added to the watch list for the Tewaritan Award, which goes to the National Player of the Year. And congrats to UNC women's basketball assistant coach Joanna Aluka-White, one of 66 coaches named to the ABIS Black Coaches Watch List, honoring the top African-American coaches in men's and women's college basketball. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes got their 4th straight win last night, 1-0 over the Flyers. The Canes are back in action tomorrow night, hosting Vegas at 7.